I am going to open up something that was given to me back in April because of the press in my heart. This was at the beginning of the Passover feast, so what I would like you to do is just close your eyes for the moment and say, Father, give me ears to hear. Eyes to see, and a heart to perceive what you're saying to me. The vision was, I saw an angel around each chair. Then I saw Chuck with his hands outstretched behind Kim, and Diana with her hands above my shoulders. I heard that the brain controls movements in the body. But when a nerve or muscle is paralyzed, it doesn't respond. Jesus, our head, gives instructions to the church, but the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. But if members of the body are paralyzed by fear, there is a disconnect, and the church isn't able to move on. Let not your hearts be troubled, but anticipate what the Holy Spirit is setting in motion. As I was going over this in my mind, it was reminding me that a great majority of people, and I say this including myself, when our emotions are running high, we kind of have a tendency to make decisions without the Lord. We paralyze. And we panic. And our emotions neutralize the instructions to our spirit. So the head gets cut off. The vision of the boat and the man or woman in the water is the same message. When you're in the water and you're trying to get back to shore, you could actually die doing it. I was 10 years old, and we went, me and my three buddies, with our parents, of course. We went on these tire tubes. And we were, you know, flapping our hands, and oh my goodness, we had an awesome time until all of a sudden, one of them panicked. It wasn't me. I knew how to swim. I was real smart. Yeah. But because of the excitement of the first one jumping off or falling out, I don't know which happened because I don't remember. All I know is the next thing you know, the tube's on top of me instead of me being on top of the tube. First instinct, guess what? Because that's all I knew is the donkey paddle. And headed towards shore. Because I tried to save my friend, but he was pulling me down. And praise God for someone else, because there was a young lady that went after one. And another young man that was in the service ran after the other one. And I kept swimming. Here's the ironic part. Both my buddies got saved. I tried to save myself. I was so wiped out that I was actually swimming in less than a foot of water. Somebody had to wake me up to get me up. What does that say? I was paddling and the dirt was hitting my hands. Why?
Panic.
Panic
and fear.
Panic and fear working together to what?
Kill you.
Yeah. So, you see, and this is like yesterday, you know, you don't forget something like that. When they actually pulled me up, my father says my chest was vibrating up and down, and of course my heart was probably pumping 1,000 miles an hour All I know is I never forgot it. Why did it happen? Maybe the truth in that self-sufficiency is a myth, and it's rooted in pride and temporary success. You cannot serve two masters this day. Choose who you want to serve. If you lower yourself and let somebody help you and get out of the 1 foot of water and decide to use your legs instead of your two hands and flapping your feet, and you know you're hitting the dirt, but you're not conscious of it. Go ahead, wear yourself out. God's got a boat with provisions. Amen? God's got a boat with provision. And if you just simply lay back in the water, and when I learned how to float, wow, what a gift that was. Mm-hmm. How many of you know how to float in the water on your back? All right. Then you know it doesn't exert any kind of pressure. Just being able to trust that the water will actually hold you up. Don't try it with your two legs unless you're in the Dead Sea. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that there are many times that we push and shove and work and work and wear ourselves out only to what? Yeah. And the success is minimal. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 16, and we're going to keep right on going with chapter 5 because I won't have a stop sign over there with a number 5 on it. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. There's your vision, Gail. So I know that this was the word for tonight because you confirmed it. What is unseen will last forever. That's your spirit being within you. And should God decide to clothe you with his resurrection power before you enter the tomb, all the more power to you. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, verse 1 of 5, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. And it's not way out there. Not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, lodging to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. What is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. Did you hear that one? It is God who did all this to me for his own plan. And has given me. What did he give me? The Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, I remember the struggle of allowing my spirit to use my mouth. I remember the war in my mind, saying it can't be tongues. I remember the incredible push and shove of every thought pattern, trying to cancel the deposit, making sure that I would believe a lie at one point, so I shut it all down. Now, what if I would not have gone to church the following week? Would I have heard the word that the deceptive thoughts had shut me down and would have robbed my deposit? Scripture says, don't forsake the gathering of yourself together. Because I can recall many, many times when I was pushing really hard to purpose to come to church because it was such a war for me not to go. And he was using people. You say, oh, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. All hell would break loose on church night. Yep. Yep. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Pressure tactics. Foolish stuff. And those were the very nights that God would bless my socks off. Yep. Giving me enough of a challenge to say, wait a minute. I'm not giving up on God's plan. I'm not giving up on what he wants to do for me. And those little pieces of the puzzle would be formed. And then I would start realizing, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit was given as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That guarantee would have been stolen. I would have probably kept on in the business realm and failed my obedience, because I would have been focused on what's comfortable. Being uncomfortable, pressuring myself to obey, choosing to bypass other people's opinions because they were supposedly knowing more than me. In my opinion, I thought they had more knowledge of me. But the bottom line was, the Holy Spirit empowered me to finally push so that I could have that victory. And slowly, people and things began to let up on me. And I had to learn to resist. And it was a long haul. I can tell you that. It was a long haul. Last minute emergencies. How many of you have tasted of that? Mm-hmm. Car won't start. Whatever. Silly thing. So tonight, what is the purpose? This tent that we live in, it groans and it is burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life, not by death. Isn't that a strange word? Swallowing up. How many remember Pharaoh had a visit? Moses showed up. He had a stick. Looked normal, but it wasn't. It turned into a snake. And what did it do to the demonic snakes? Swallowed them up. Did they look the same? Probably. But one was eternal, and the others were what? The others were what?
They weren't the real thing.
They were false. They weren't from the power of the eternal life. Because you see, the one that was given by God had the ability to swallow up the fake stuff. What does that mean to you and me? Haven't you ever had a disagreement with somebody that's arguing that God isn't real? You might be able to deposit one little seed of life. And when that little seed of life goes into their hearts, it will produce salvation. They may walk away in a huff, but that seed is going to get watered by God somewhere down the road. And God will reestablish what he needs so that you and I can become fruitful. I believe in this spring that that which God has already prepared will not only give us an understanding of that guarantee, his Spirit has not given up on every saint in here. His Holy Spirit is still on the job, and that guarantee is something you can take to the bank for eternal purpose. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I remember some people using that scripture to create fear. It was not designed to create fear. It was designed to keep you and me on course. And if you get a little bit afraid or fearful, ask the Lord for his love. One of those songs tonight was permeating this body. Anybody got a clue what song I'm referring to?
I Love You?
Yes. How many felt the anointing on that song? Think about the reality of what God is doing when he says he loves you enough to give you a guarantee of his Holy Spirit. So, close your eyes right now. Holy Spirit, you are that guarantee. And I ask that you would just continue to counsel and comfort each one that has made it tonight. Whoever listens to this, let there be an anointing of refreshing upon this word so that it will bring them higher than they've known before. With the conviction in their hearts that this deposit has not been wasted, I give you praise for this victory in Jesus' name.